Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. This Wednesday's message is focused on abundance. Today you'll learn how abundance is part of God's plan for us and that He desires that we experience His overflowing blessings. Bishop Dag will teach you why it is important to be a Christian who bears fruit despite whatever level of abundance you may be blessed with. As the Lord gives you abundance, in return He expects you to be fruitful. Today's message will encourage you to take heed to the call of God on your life and to serve Him while it is still day.
Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We are going to read whilst we are still standing. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 11 and 12. It says, "Not that I speak in respect of want." Are you there? We are all reading together. It says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Amen. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 26. Our subject is abundance. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Abundance. And we are going to read from verse 17. Genesis 26. "And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he saith, 'For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.'" Amen. Amen. Turn with me finally to Matthew chapter 20. I want us to read all these scriptures, and we'll be referring to them as we go along. Matthew chapter 20. I want to read one of the famous parables of Jesus. Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to read from verse number 1. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard." Are you there? Verse 2. "And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, 'Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you.' And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, 'Why stand ye here all the day idle?' They say unto him, 'Because no man hath hired us.' He saith unto them, 'Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive.' So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them the hire, beginning from the last unto the first.' And when they were come that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny." Verse 10. "But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, 'These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day.'" Everybody say, "The burden and the heat of the day." "But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many be called, but few chosen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful once again for this opportunity to be in your presence. We love you, we thank you, and we bless you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. We are studying abundance. Hallelujah. Tell somebody abundance. Abundance is God's plan for us to have overflowing blessings all around us. Are you ready for overflowing blessings?
Yes.
All right. And the Lord is going to bless us greatly, and he's expecting us to enjoy this abundance as it comes. Now, when the abundance comes to you, you need to know how to abound, as it were, how to live with the abundance, how to enjoy the abundance, how to experience abundance without it destroying you. It is more easy to be spiritual when you are poor, because when you are poor, circumstances press you into prayer and pressurize you into looking for the Lord and into seeking after the Lord. Amen. But when you are rich and everything is working, you don't have any natural pinch which pinches you into prayer. Is that not so? And so you realize that you need, sometimes you wonder whether it's a good thing to be poor, you know, because that makes you spiritual. I mean, I'm glad if I'm poor and I go to heaven, it's better than if I'm rich and I go to hell. Is that not so? Is that not so? The Bible says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What can you exchange for salvation? How long is this life? You know, how many years will we live? And so on. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm preaching about abundance because I remember there was a time I was the only person in this church who had a car. And today, you know, many people have cars in the church. Amen. And God has blessed us, and he's going to continue to bless us. If God sends somebody, he will raise up people to help the person. I truly believe that if God does not provide the money for me to do some of the things he has called me to do, then he's just not interested in doing it, or he doesn't want to do it, and it's not a problem. I shouldn't be doing it anyway, because I can't do everything. No one can do everything. Is that not so? So if God is going to do his work, he will raise the money to do it. He will bring me people, not cocaine dealers and, you know, strange people to come and suddenly bring all their stolen money, 419 monies and other things to the church. We don't need all those things. But our own people who have, through their sweat and toil, developed and become prosperous and blessed people experiencing abundance. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Now, when abundance comes, we must know how to live. And I have been sharing with you, I shared with you about the tithe, and I shared with you various other principles that we are going to need to know. Today I want to move on to one more principle, and the principle of being fruitful when you are experiencing abundance. One of the things that you need to have and to do is to be fruitful when you experience abundance. And when I say fruitful, I mean spiritually fruitful. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Rehoboth means room. And Isaac was a struggler, just like all of us struggle. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
are you there?
Yes,
are you around?
Yes.
Say amen, somebody.
Yes.
Okay. Isaac was a struggler. He was digging wells, and the wells were a source of water. And in those days, you know, it was probably like the source of blessing for the sheep, for the pasture, for living, and so on. So it was a great sign of abundance. Maybe like having a Mercedes Benz today, it was to have a well. So he had one well, and people fought with him. The Bible says Isaac digged again the wells of water. All right, and the Philistines had stopped after the death of Abraham. All right, and the headmen did strive with him, the people of Gerar. okay? And they said, the water is ours. And he said, okay, no problem. And then he called the name of that well Esek, because they strove with him. Then they dug another well, and they strove with him for that one also. And he left that one as well. He called it Sitna. But then he went to a place called Rehoboth, and he dug a well there. And in that instant, he had no struggle. God blessed him, and he was able to have peace and room where he had dug that well. That was Rehoboth. Are you listening to me? And so, ladies and gentlemen, there comes a time when God makes room for you. Amen. And you are not as straightened as you were. You are not as tight as you used to be. If there's more room. Rehoboth means room. There's more room for you to maybe buy some papaya. You didn't used to buy such things. You get it? Or maybe room to buy some new clothes instead of home secondhand clothes. Hallelujah. Or maybe there's room enough in your account to buy a new car. Amen. Or to buy a car. It was never an option. Or maybe there's enough room to even go abroad, buy a ticket. You know, these things were not always there. And we shouldn't become presumptuous. You know, that is why he named this place Rehoboth. Because it's not always been the same. And we need to realize that God has made a difference. And he's always making a difference in our lives. And even if we don't have what we really would like to have one day, the ideal, you know, we should recognize that there has been some improvement and that the Lord is improving things. How many realize that the Lord is improving things in your life? There's more room, you know. And when there's expansion and there's a little more room and a little more peace, it's important to recognize it and to label it and to be conscious of it. Amen. You see, presumption is one of the painful things. Presumption is an English word, and it means an arrogant assumption of privilege. You know, when somebody gives you a privilege or gives you something, you just assume, you know, yes, you are supposed to give it. You know, or you are supposed to, I was supposed to get it, and so on. But you must be grateful and humble, and not be presumptuous and proud, thinking that, yeah, I'm the type who always prospers. I'm the type who does well. I'm the type who does this, and I'm the type who gets good breakthroughs and contracts. You are not the type. It's the grace of God that has made it possible for you. Amen. And so, like Isaac, it's good to mark these things. It's good to spiritually take note of these realities that God has blessed. You know, if you get to an age, you know, 30 years, 25, 35 years, 40 years, and so on. Listen, I know people who don't get to that age. I know people who don't get to 10 years. And people who don't get to 15 years. So it's a blessing. You may not know. And you may not have been to the mortuary to see just your type. Your type, just somebody just like you in there, you know, and your type who has breasts just like yours, which have developed cancer, bilateral cancer, adenocarcinoma, and serious, dangerous malignancies of all kinds, just like you, person is dying or the person is dead. So it's good to not be presumptuous as well. I'm the type who never gets sick. You know, I mean, I never go to the hospital. No, I'm the type who is always healthy. I'm the type who is, you know, fit. I do exercise. I'm like this. I'm like that. No. You know, Isaac marked and said, you know, I remember there was a well. I struggled, you know, but now there's more room. I remember earlier it wasn't easy. I couldn't give 5,000 cedis, you know, without a struggle. But I can see that I can give 5,000. I can give 10,000. I can give 1 million. There was a time 1 million was difficult. But I can feel, you know, that God has made room. And you must acknowledge and not be presumptuous. Because your presumption, look, me, I'm a doctor. I tell you, I've lived virtually in a mortuary, not inside a mortuary, but going to the mortuary almost on a daily basis. You know, you see things that would make you sober. You see people just like you. Look, don't make a mistake. Mortuary is not full of old people. Mortuary is not full of old people. Mortuary is full of people. And I remember, I used to think, you know, that certain cancers, or cancer was something for old people. But I can take you on a tour, and you will see your age and younger than you. I remember seeing one lady, young looking like 25 years old with cancer of the breast. And I just look at her. Young people with leukemia. In fact, one of our lady pastors, once she was working at the hematology department, and she said, I'm sick of this place. I can't work here anymore. Because you constantly diagnosing leukemia. Leukemia is cancer of the blood cells. Constant. You see age, young people. I've prayed for people with leukemia who died after I prayed for them. Young people, boys, girls, young women. So when you walk about and you are well, please don't be presumptuous. Presumption is what? An arrogant assumption of privilege. It's a privilege to be alive. It's a privilege to be in church. It's a privilege to be able to be well, to serve the Lord. Let's not be arrogant about it. Now notice what he said in Genesis 26 and verse 22. He says, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. When the Lord makes room for you, it's important that you decide to be fruitful for Jesus. You must decide to be fruitful, a fruitful person, not a barren tree. If, for instance, you had no rain and now there's rain, why don't you decide to be fruitful? Why don't you decide to bear fruit unto the Lord? Now, in this church, you know, we have preached many, many times about being fruitful. And I'm going to preach again about being fruitful. Because I want you to know that God's desire for every one of us is that we would bear fruit. It is a natural thing to bear fruit. In fact, in our society, if you do not have a child, you understand, it seems to be such a problem, you know, and it seems to be something that generates so much tension and stress. If you haven't experienced it before, it's also something you should not be presumptuous about. Now, to have a child is not just ordinary, it's a blessing. Yeah. You may think it's just something, you know, I'm the fertile kind. I'm the fertile type. I'm the type, huh? It's in our family. We are all fertile. All my sisters are fertile. And all my brothers are fertile. It's the grace of God. Amen. But you see, there is an even more serious problem, and which is spiritual fruitfulness. God expects a Christian to be fruitful. How many years will you be on this earth? Within 40 years, 40 years from now, most of us may not be around. I don't know how long we are going to live. But if you add 40 to your current age, you will find out that you are either crossing certain barriers or you are near certain barriers. Are you understanding? And so you realize that it's just a matter of time when before you will be out of this world. And so God expects you to lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Amen. And I want you to know something. You know, I was reading this scripture. The time came and I became discouraged. I said, Lord, I'm always telling these people to do your work and to work for you. They don't, many people don't really want to do it. They just want prosperity, money, this, that. And then the Lord spoke to me through this scripture in Matthew. And he told me to come to you again and speak these words to you again. That he wants you to work for him. He wants you, he's calling you not to just sit in the pew and warm the pew and watch us as we work for the Lord, but to join in as a lay person and become a shepherd and do something and work for the Lord instead of just sitting there and idling away until you die. I'm your pastor, and I'm preaching to you what the Lord has given to me for you. It says the kingdom of God is like a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning. Some of us have heard this message early in the morning, and it has been preached, and he hired laborers. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny, he sent them. But then he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle. And the Lord told me, come again in the third hour and make a call, and call for people to work for Jesus and to do the work of God. Maybe those that heard in the early morning and didn't come will join in the third hour and come on and join the train in the third hour to do something for the Lord with their lives, rather than just sitting down expecting a blessing to fall on us from heaven. And then he went on and he said, go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. And they went. And then he went out about the sixth hour again. God is calling some of us. For some of us, it's our sixth hour of life. He called you maybe in the early morning. You wouldn't listen to him. You wanted to have your own way. You want to do your own thing. Live your own life. And so that opportunity passed. But God never gives up. He comes again in the third hour of your life. I tell you. And maybe you didn't listen. And maybe if you felt it wasn't reasonable, it wasn't practical. And maybe you didn't really, know certain things and receive the word in a certain way. But God comes again in the sixth hour. You know, thank God for his mercy. That if you didn't come in the early morning hours, you can come in the third hour. And if you didn't come in the third hour, you can come in the ninth hour. And you can also do something for Jesus in the sixth hour of your life. And then he comes again. He says, in the ninth hour. In the ninth hour, maybe it's quite advanced. You may not know when the ninth hour of your life is. Nobody knows when the ninth hour of his life is. Princess Diana, on the Saturday before her funeral, she was drinking wine, dining with the Saudi prince or an Egyptian prince or whatever he was. But she didn't know that her funeral was next Saturday. As they drove to the romantic capital of France, on the cobblestones of Paris, she didn't know that her funeral was on Saturday. And that it was probably the largest, most watched funeral in the whole world was her funeral, and was coming on just on Saturday. It was coming on in a week's time. But she didn't know that it was maybe the ninth hour. She still had a week. And even in the ninth hour, you would have thought that the Lord would give up, because if I called you in the 11th hour, you didn't mind me. And I called you in the third hour, you didn't hear. And I called you in the sixth hour, still you are watching. And I called you in the ninth hour, you're still pretending that you don't understand. Bible says, and in the 11th hour, what a God we serve. I said, in the 11th hour, he sent out again and said, is there anybody left in this last moment of your life where you can serve me, and where you can be shown my mercy, and where you can be involved in the work of God? It always brings to mind one of our pastors who died a few years ago. When he got saved in the hospital, and one of our pastors was a doctor on the ward and ministered to him, and he gave his life to Jesus on the ward. But you see, the disease that he had was something like a reaction and to a drug, we think, and probably we didn't know that he was probably going to have that drug again and react to it even worse than the first time. So he became a serious church member. He became a pastor. I remember going for the shepherd's camp in Kumasi. I got to a point and he was in front of me when we're driving to Kumasi. I always remember, because he was in school with me. I remember talking with him. I remember how he would come to me, because when we were in school, we weren't so close, but now he was coming closer. And I remember overtaking him. We were going to Kumasi. Either he overtook me or I overtook him. I think it's, there was an overtaking. More or less. More. Yes. So I remember. Then he started the church. He was sent out. He started our church in Sakumono. He started it. That's a church that's being built now. 5 years exactly after he got saved, he got sick again and he died. When I think about it, I realize that God has given him 5 years. That's whatever he will do in 5 years period. And not only did he just get saved, but he gave his life to God. He became a pastor. He started a church and he went out of this world. God bless him. And now the work is continuing. Most of the work we will do, we won't see the end, we won't see the fruit. I believe that what I'm doing, I'm not going to see the end or the or whatever. I'm laying a foundation. Most, Jesus didn't even start one church. John Wesley, they never knew that we have churches, Methodist Church in Nyanyano and Buzua and all villages in Ghana. No, Takrade, they will all be speaking Fanti. You don't see the end of your work. You often just do something and others continue. But that's your role. But thank God. Maybe when I was in school with him in Achimota, he wouldn't get saved. But thank God for this is still an option. There's the 6th hour option. Thank God there's a 9th hour option. Thank God even there's an 11th hour option. Are you glad that there's an option? You know, and those of us who started serving God early, in the early hours of the morning, and have borne the burden and the heat of the day, must be careful that we are not turned out and others come in at the 11th hour. Because the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. That's why even as we serve the Lord, we must be humble, because you'll be surprised at who will come and overtake you. Today, I am telling you, as the Lord blesses us, and as we look at our gleaming cars outside, and the prosperity and the blessing that God gives to us, remember that God is expecting you to be fruitful. He said, now, wow, the Lord has taken away some of the old problems. I can be fruitful, and I'm going to be fruitful.
Amen.
God is calling you to be a shepherd. He's calling you to work for him. He's calling you to do something more with your life.
Amen.
He's calling you to get involved and not just watch. It's a better life. It's a better life. There is no life like the life where you are serving the Lord and you are fruitful and you work for him. Jesus said, my meat is to do his will. I enjoy doing, when I do his will, I become full. I become happy. You may not know, you know, sometimes you wonder why a woman goes through the labor and has one child and she wants to go back. Sometimes you wonder. You, if you've never been to the labor ward, you know not what goes on there. You wonder why they want to go back. But you see, there is a certain joy of bearing fruit, yeah, which, I mean, you just have to experience it to know.
Yeah.
And somebody may wonder, why do I want to serve the Lord? Do you think I'm serving the Lord because I'm sad? I really enjoy serving the Lord. I am so happy bearing fruit.
Yeah.
It's something that I love. I enjoy. There's no greater joy that I have than to serve him and to be fruitful. I'm inviting you, and God is calling you. And you see, you may say, oh, I'm 23, so this must be the early morning.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be the 11th hour for you.
Yes.
Because maybe you are going to live for only 24 years. Nobody knows how. I'll live to be 70. Look, you see, you have a liver here. If it decides that it's going to stop and decides that it's going to grow on its own, selfishly, without consideration for the stomach, without any consideration for the kidney and the other blood that starts to grow, that's cancer. Selfishness is cancer. When you have a church member who is selfish, he doesn't think about the church but thinks about himself, that's cancer. Selfishness. If your breast does decide to grow on its own, and something inside decides I'm going to get bigger and become hard and big like a stone, and go into your chest and come out of your skin, what will you say? That's selfish. Why should you alone decide to grow? Let's all grow together slowly. Selfishness. If it decides, No one knows why they do these things. Because etiology unknown. In medicine, say etiology and say the cause is not known. Hypertension, nobody knows the cause. 90% is idiopathic, unknown cause. Ladies and gentlemen, it is His grace that keeps us. Amen. May you find Him. Amen. May you work for Him. Amen. Now I'm calling you. I'm saying to you, join a church. You know, what is the practical meaning of my message? Join a church worker group. Don't be idle. Dissociate yourself from people who are idle. He says He came out and found them idle.
Idle.
Most charismatics are idle. We are watching pastors as though they are superstars.
Oh,
pastors are not superstars.
No way.
God is raising up people and calling people to work for Him. And He's calling at all hours. And He's saying, come, put your hand. There's a burden. There's heat. It's hot. Come and join and help to bear the burden of the day. The heat of the day. The heat of the ministry. Join in. Join in. Put your life, your time, not just your money, but your life, your time. Your life is worth more than your money.
That's right.
To God. Yeah. Because He has all the money He needs. God is not short of money. No church is short of money. It's only imaginary shortages. Because once God has not provided, then He's not doing it. That's all. God is calling us. Father, I pray for your children today. That Lord, you soften our hearts for the sixth hour, the third hour, the early morning call that is coming to your people, the ninth hour call, the 11th hour call that is coming to your children. Help us, Lord, not to deceive ourselves into thinking we've got forever. Help us to rise up and to heed to the call. Thank you for roominess. Thank you for the space you've given us. Lord, we dedicate ourselves to fruitfulness in this time of abundance. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. Are you blessed with the message that has come to you today? All right. Just stand to your feet and let's close our eyes for a moment. If you are here this morning, you are not born again, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me, pray for me. Somebody invited me to church, but in my heart, I know I'm far away from God. Please pray for me. Maybe you are watching my television. You want to be born again. Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Today, I want to pray for you also watching. Because God wants to save you. He wants to write your name in the book of life and change you forever. If you want to be born again, you want to give your life to Jesus, I want to pray with you right now. And if you are here like that, just lift up your right hand wherever you are, and I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. Lift it up high. Stand where you are, but lift it up high so I can see. God bless you. I see all your hands. Lift it up high. You're watching my television. Lift your hand as well. We are praying with you. God is saving you. God bless you. God, all over this place, God bless you. If you've lifted your hand, come to the front. Come to me here. I want to pray for you right here. Just come to the front. Keep clapping for them, please. Let's clap for them. I surrender all. Father, we thank you for your blessing today. If you've come to the front, lift your hands and say this prayer with me. And let's all pray together. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
All of you in front, lift your hands up and say this prayer from the bottom of your heart. And everyone, please join and let's pray together. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Forgive me for my sins.
For my sins.
I am a sinner.
Have mercy on me.
Please forgive me
for
all my mistakes
and
for all my sins. Today, I humble myself and I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I give my heart.
I give my life
to God. In Jesus'
name.
Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.